We have less than 2 weeks before Passover and 2 weeks until Unleavened Bread starts, so I wanted to cover a subject today or introduce a subject that's going to be on our minds for the next few weeks as we go prepare for the week of Unleavened Bread and preparing for Passover. And I thought I would take a look at a few verses to compare intentional versus unintentional sin. And if we take a look, and we're going to look at some verses in Leviticus 4, and they're mirrored in Numbers. If a person sins, in Leviticus 4, verse 2, if a person sins unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord, in anything which ought not to be done, and does any of them, and then it goes on to explain the sacrifice that must be made because of that unintentional sin. We read on then that first it's the person that does the unintentional sin. And then if we read on in Leviticus 4 down to verse 13, if the whole congregation of Israel sins unintentionally and the thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly and they've done something against any of the commandments of the Lord which should not be done and are guilty, and it goes on to explain that there is a sacrifice that must be made for that sin. So we have both an individual situation and we have a group or a community situation or a national situation, because a congregation could mean a small group. It could be the entire nation, as it says here. And what is unintentional after all? Well, in some translations call it sin in ignorance. I didn't know. Well, officer, had I only known that the speed limit was 30 miles an hour, I wouldn't have been going 65 through this residential section. Well, maybe that's a little weak, but some people don't know if there is where the limits are. They frankly don't know. One of my girls in high school in Fayetteville was friends with a girl from Europe. And the girl seemed to have some wild ideas as to what relationship should be like. And my daughter said, well, you know, having that kind of a relationship before wedlock, you know, that's really frowned upon, and God doesn't smile on that. You know, that's called fornication. And the girl said, I didn't know. I've never heard that before. She was raised in an atheist world where it was, you do whatever you feel like. Whatever relationship comes along, that's what you do. She didn't know. It was an unintentional that she was doing that. She didn't, because she just didn't know. Now, of course, the bad results will tell you that you should know, or you're going to get the bad effects anyway, even if you do something unintentionally. But a sacrifice is made under these circumstances for unintentional sin, sin in ignorance. If we take a look, if a ruler does something unintentionally, and you know there's a saying about when a ruler sins and does something unintentionally, well, then there's a sacrifice to be made for that. And sometimes rulers or leaders make the decisions without regard to what we economists call the tyranny of good intentions. They make a decision not realizing that there could be negative effects based on that decision. They made the decision intentionally, but they didn't intend for the negative consequences to occur. And when it does, it doesn't just affect the ruler. It can affect the entire nation. But then there calls for a sacrifice to be made for the unintentional sin of a ruler or of a sin in ignorance. Similarly, if any one of the common people sins unintentionally, then there's and is guilty, there's a sacrifice to be made for that. Now, when it says common people, what they mean is the people of the nation, not the ruler. It's not that you have lesser people. It's just that they don't happen to be the ruler. So it's that's the term that that the Bible translators came up with. And so we have different categories. There is a compensation or not compensation, but a sacrifice must be made to atone for those sins. And then we take a look over in Numbers 15. We have a different kind of sin. We have a different kind of sin in Numbers 15 and verses 30 through 31. But the person who does anything presumptuously whether he's native-born or a stranger, and that one that brings a reproach on the Lord shall be cut off from his people because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment, the person shall be completely cut off, his guilt shall be upon him. Well, let's step through this one a little bit. First of all, I looked up this word presumptuously, and it's really the combination of two words in Strong's. One is high and the other is handed. So you put those together. Somebody does something in a high-handed manner, they presume something to be so, or I did it because I could, which is probably not a very good plan. But they did it because they could, and it doesn't matter whether you're native-born or a stranger. Notice that this decision has a negative outcome, brings reproach upon the Lord. In other words, to God and his people, and it says he shall be cut off from his people. Does it say God cuts him off? No. His actions are the ones that separate him from God's people. Because of how this person is sinning, they're doing it intentionally. They're ignoring what God has said to do, and that brings reproach upon or a negative outcome and doesn't reflect well upon God. And that person's actions then takes them away from fellowship of God's people. And then it says his guilt should be upon him. Ooh, that's pretty heavy. It doesn't say much there about a sacrifice being available if doing something for that, just deliberately throwing away the knowledge of the truth, a person has to bear their guilt. And we know that the definition of sin is the violation of God's law. So now we have this issue here. We have unintentional sin and we have intentional sin. So let's take a look then and of course, now let me introduce one other subject, and that is, well, which one is an addiction? Is an addiction unintentional or is an addiction intentional? And that's kind of an awkward question to answer, because the dirty little secret is we're all addicted to sin. In all of sin, it comes short of the glory of God. So now, what about giving up sin? It's pretty hard to do if it's in our habit and our past. We may not even know it. That's the unintentional part, that we just don't know about those little things that we do. Like the gal in school, she just didn't know that it was violative of the Bible. Just didn't know anything about that. But what if you know and you do it anyway? Well, that's a problem. And of course, that's why we have the sermon coming today, but it's what is it that we can do after we say, oh man, I did it again. It was a habit I know that I shouldn't have, and I feel guilty. And sure enough, we read, the guilt is upon him, and it doesn't shake off. It doesn't go away. It's like clay on your shoe. And it's just, you can't wipe it off or rub it off. It doesn't even wash off decent. I learned that one on the farm. You run along and you get mud on, not just mud. Mud you can wash off, but clay, wet clay, it just sticks and clings to you. And that's like sin. It will stick and cling to you. And so we have this. And so an addiction to sin becomes a challenge. Now, the late John Seforek wrote an article called Breaking Free from Addictions. On November 21st, 2007, in the Good News magazine. Now, he was, that was a specialty of his at graduate school. And he's going through the scenario of how tough it is to break away from an addiction. An addiction could be to almost anything. And it doesn't have to be behavior. It could be not, or something we consume, or it could be a behavior that we do. And because it activates the little pleasure center in the brain, and that little part of the brain that says, that gives me joy, and you don't even think about it, you don't realize it. And it's really, really hard to overcome those things. Like I say, it could be a simple addiction that we just say, well, it's just a little thing, or it could be a bigger one. And this brings us to the run-up to now why we have an annual Passover, why we have an opportunity then to come before God to clean up the sins, whether they're intentional or unintentional. What are we supposed to do as we come up now in just 13 days to the New Testament Passover in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. What are we told? Purge out the old leaven. Well, leaven is a type of sin, that you may be a new lump, one that isn't leaven, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Well, we just read the sins, unintentional sins. There's a sacrifice for those, no matter whether you're the ruler, whether you're the member of the nation, one of God's people. There's a sacrifice for that sin, and that sacrifice is Jesus Christ. And we memorialize that through the service, through the Passover service. And when we do, then we are blessed. In Romans 4 and verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. You know, when somebody's coming to visit and you don't have time to clean up, what do? You cover up the mess. And that's really what Christ is doing, covering up the mess. We've made a mess of things. How can we best put this out of sight, out of mind? It's an old radio show that before my time, but I guess I heard it a little bit when I was young. It was called, it was a radio show that included Fibber McGee's Closet. And radio is the imagination, you know, is the theater of the mind. And the radio characters would talk and, no, don't open up the closet. And the closet would come open and you'd hear the pans and the boxes and everything come crashing out. And that kind of like our life is sometimes. Just leave that door closed. Don't want to have that. Leave that back there. Let's cover it up. Let's let it be out of sight, out of mind, and be thankful that we have a Passover, that we can erase that or cover it up in our lives, and that we will be blessed when we seek forgiveness from God and those sins are then forgiven. So we look forward to this opportunity as we go closer and closer to Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And we purge out what? We purge out the leaven or the sin in our lives. We have a physical demonstration of that. In our house, we've gathered together in a box all leavened items. And we're diligently cooking up anything that has leaven, and the rest will get thrown out, will be purged, so that we may be a new lump by that time. So we should be de-leavened by Friday the 26th, I believe it is, because we got a double Sabbath, so our last opportunity to really do that is to have our houses and cars and such emptied for those things. So let's bear in mind that we have both the unintentional sin, things that we don't know about, that we should, but we don't, and then there's the intentional sin that we must purge out as well, as we look forward then to the New Testament Passover in just days away. So that's a coverage of the introduction to the intentional versus unintentional sin.